welcome to episode 152 of George's Random Astronomical Object. Every episode, I run a random number generator to select random astronomical coordinates in the sky, and I then search for an astronomical object near those coordinates and talk about what makes the object so interesting to astronomers. So, I will now turn on the random number generator. The coordinates for this episode are 21 hours, 29 minutes, 12.2 seconds for ascension, and negative 15 degrees, 38 minutes, 41 seconds declination. These coordinates point to an object named PKS2126-158 in the constellation Capricorn. This object is a radio source that was discovered by Parkes Observatory in Australia in the 1960s. As best as I can tell, the letters PKS in the object's name stand for Parkes, although I'm not 100% certain about that, and the digits refer to the object's location in the 1950 coordinate system. Like a lot of radio sources discovered by Parkes Observatory, PKS2126-158 is a quasar, or a type of galaxy containing an active galactic nucleus, or AGN. To review very quickly, an AGN consists of a supermassive black hole, a disk of gas falling into that black hole, and jets of gas emerging above the poles of the black hole that come from gas in the disk that got very hot and then was deflected away from the black hole's event horizon by its magnetic fields. One of the jets from PKS2126-158 appears to be aimed roughly in the direction of the Earth, making the quasar appear very bright and very point-like. One of the things that makes PKS2126-158 distinctly different from most, but not all of the other active galactic nuclei that I've mentioned in past episodes, is that the light from the quasar is passing through huge amounts of intergalactic gas to reach the Earth. Keep two key concepts in mind while I discuss this topic. First, because of the expansion of the universe, almost all galaxies appear to be moving away from our own, and things that are further away appear to be moving away faster than things nearby. This will stretch out the wavelengths of the light from these objects. Second, individual elements within gas and space will absorb and emit light at very specific wavelengths. So, for example, hydrogen gas will absorb and emit light at 1216, 4861, and 6563 angstroms, among other wavelengths. PKS2126-158 is located at a distance where the light from the quasar has been stretched out to 4.29 times its original size. The light was emitted when the universe was 11.8 billion years younger, but for complex reasons involving the curvature of space-time, this can't exactly be described as a distance of 11.8 billion light-years. The hydrogen gas within PKS2126-158 emits light at 1216 angstroms that is seen on Earth as 5212 angstroms. Sitting between PKS2126-158 and the Earth are a bunch of intergalactic gas filaments as well as a few galaxies. And because those galaxies are not as far away, they aren't moving as quickly. The hydrogen gas in these filaments and galaxies will absorb light at 1216 angstroms, but as seen on Earth, the absorbed light is at various wavelengths between 1216 and 5212 angstroms. By looking at where light is absorbed in the spectrum of the quasar, astronomers can reconstruct the structure of the interstellar gas between the quasar and the Earth. This could be thought of as analogous to looking at someone else shining a flashlight through a room with cobwebs and the occasional spider. The flashlight in this case represents the quasar PKS2126-158. The spider webs between the flashlight and you represent the intergalactic filaments absorbing light from the quasar. The occasional spider might represent occasional galaxies between the quasar and Earth, and they would absorb more light than the average spiderweb filament. However, galaxies are expected to form from intergalactic filaments of gas, whereas spiders would have made the spiderwebs in the hypothetical room I'm talking about, so this analogy breaks down a little. Also, that room with the spiderwebs and the person with the flashlight would have to be expanding to make this analogy work. Anyway, one of the really cool things that astronomers found between us and PKS-226-158 is an entire group of galaxies. Going back to the analogy with the room filled with the spiderwebs, this could be thought of as like finding a nest of spider eggs in between us and the flashlight. But fortunately, the spider eggs are moving away from us. Anyhow, this group of galaxies is located at a distance where the light has traveled 6.1 billion years to reach the Earth, and this group absorbs light at wavelengths that appear to be stretched out to 1.66 times their original size. Interestingly, magnesium and calcium within the gas within this cluster is also absorbing light from PKS-2126-158. Based on what I could see in the scientific literature, it has become rather popular to look for galaxies in front of quasars that contain lots of spiders. Wait, ignore the spiders part. It has become rather popular to look for galaxies in front of quasars that contain lots of magnesium absorbing light from those quasars. And the group of galaxies in front of PKS-2126-158 is now a major part of that research. So that wraps up my summary of PKS-2126-158. And the location on the Earth's surface corresponding to the position of this quasar in the sky is 132 kilometers offshore from Canavieiras, Brazil. As an interesting point, the continental shelf does not extend that far from the shore of some of the easternmost parts of Brazil, so this location, despite not being too far from the shoreline, is rather deep. The website for this podcast is www.randomastronomicalobject.com. where you can read information about the astronomical objects, view images of those astronomical objects, look up additional reference information, and send me random feedback. You can also send me feedback via Facebook, Instagram, Threads, and Blue Sky. And indeed, I got feedback regarding the last episode on Blue Sky. TK Arispe wrote, "Another CDIS object. I think the random number generator is trolling you." Well, one thing to keep in mind about the constellation Cetus is that it's also one of the largest constellations in the sky, so it's rather easy to hit by chance, and that's why I end up talking about so many objects within the constellation. The audio was recorded and edited by George Bendo. The music is Immersion by Sasha Endy, and the sound effects are from the Freesounds Project at www.freesounds.org. Thanks for listening.